This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
House will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today is Pastor Mercy Hobbs from the Pier, Fort Pier Ministerial Association. That'll be followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Paige Andrew Flannery from Elk Point.
Let us pray. O gracious, precious God, as these men and women who are our elected leaders of this great state of South Dakota, I pray that as they make decisions and discuss what must be done in voting, that, Lord, help them to keep their hearts and their minds and their ears open to do what is right. And so we thank you, Lord, for their service to this state, and for all those who are serving in the capacity of staff and pages and guests this afternoon. All this we pray in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson, Bartling, Beal, Bolin, Bordeaux, Bruner, Campbell, Consett, Craig, Cronin, Deutsch, DeSanto, Dryden, Duvall, Feichert, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hager, Harrison, Haugards, Hawks, Holly, Heineman, Holmes, Hunhoff, Hunt, Jensen, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Klum, Langer, Latterell, Marty, May, McCleary, Mickelson, Munsterman, Nordstrup, Otten, Partridge, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Romkema, Rounds, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Schoenbeck, Shanefish, Schrempf, Sly, Soley, Solem, Stalzer, Steinhauer, Stevens, Tulson, Vershiel, Werner, Westra, Wick, Willitson, Woolman, Zickman, Speaker Wink.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 27th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Dean Wink, Chair.
Those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Journal's approved. Representative Bowman.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Up in the gallery to my left here, we have 20 students from the ASSE Student Exchange. They're visiting from eastern South Dakota. Students go to their school, many different schools in South Dakota, including Clear Lake, Volga, Arlington, Elkton, Coleman, Del Rapids, Colton, and Madison. Their local area reps are Tara Vanderwall of Volga, Tracy Pepin of Crooks, and Tammy Waltz of Coleman, and their state rep is Connie Frisbee Griffin of Madison. Many different countries, Moldova, Germany, Czech Republic, Denmark, Ukraine, Italy, Spain, France, Armenia, Tajikistan, and Japan. So welcome them to the state capital.
Let's give them a big welcome. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege.
Granted.
Thank you once again. Earlier this week, I introduced my father to you, and today I would like to introduce one of my granddaughters, Merrick Anderson, and I also have sitting above me my wife, Karen, and my son, Dan, and his wife, Jessica.
Great. Welcome to the Capitol, family. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that Senate Bill 380 do pass. Senate Bill 71 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Lee Qualm, Chair. The Joint Committee on Appropriations respectfully reports that House Bill 1045 do pass. House Bill 1042 do pass as amended, and House Bill 1159 was tabled. Justin R. Cronin, co-chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills 9, 50, 100, 124, 125, 126, 127, 150, 159, 162, 168, and 169, which have passed the Senate in your favorable consideration as respectfully requested. Respectfully, Kay Johnson, Secretary.
Motions.
House Concurrent Resolution 1015, commending Taiwan's presidential election, supporting Taiwan's efforts to secure to entry to the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the signing of the Free Trade Agreement and the Bilateral Investment Agreement with the United States, and reaffirming support for increasing Taiwan's international profile and for strengthening it and expanding sister state ties with South Dakota and Taiwan. Representative Hunt moves that HCR 1015 be adopted.
That motion having been made and seconded for House Concurrent Resolution 1015 to be adopted is now for consideration. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This resolution is one that we have looked at and passed annually for a number of years. And I think it's continuing to be extremely important that we respect and honor the relationships that have gone on between the United States and Taiwan and South Dakota. Taiwan buys a lot of corn and wheat from us. We buy a number of products from them. We've been good trade partners for many, many years, going back to the end of World War II. This resolution points out the fact that Taiwan clearly is a democracy. Last January 16th, in the sixth annual presidential election, it elected a woman that is proving to be a very powerful force for democracy in Taiwan. I have lived in Taiwan. The Navy had me there for a couple of years. Every one of my children have lived and worked in Taiwan, primarily as missionaries. And so we have a lot of close ties with Taiwan. So I can speak from the fact that as a resident of Taiwan, Taiwan is a democratic nation. This resolution would seek to support Taiwan's admission to a couple of international trade agreements. And I think it's important that we support this because when we bring Taiwan into these trade organizations, we bring another democracy in. We bring another nation that thinks like we do, another nation that would certainly support us in any of those negotiations as we would support them. And last but certainly not least, I would point out the fact that the Chinese, as you all know, have been building a new island out in the China Seas. And that island is obviously for the purposes of claiming jurisdiction and increasing the boundaries of China. And those boundaries are affecting the Philippines as well as Taiwan. We may very well need to tell the rest of the world that we stand behind both of those democracies. And so I would encourage your support of Resolution 1015. I'd stand by for any questions that you might have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Further remarks on House Concurrent Resolution 1015? Any further remarks on House Concurrent Resolution 1015? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 1015. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed, nay. Clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members will proceed to vote. Representative Klum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege.
Granted.
Thank you. I'd like to have you all help me welcome our doctor of the day, Dr. Tom Dean, up here in the gallery from Weston Springs.
Very good. Welcome, doctor. Dr. Dean is a family medicine physician who has served the medical needs of the community of Weston Springs since 1978. He received his medical degree at the University of Rochester in New York State and completed his residency at the University of Washington in Seattle. In 2014, he was selected as Family Doctor of the Year by the South Dakota Academy of Family Physicians, and he was honored as Rural Practitioner of the Year by the National Rural Health Association in 2009. So welcome, and thank you for spending the day with us, Doctor.
Representative Qualm, Rosum, and Russell. Representative Russell. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 59 yeas, 4 nays, 7 excused.
House concurrent resolution 1015, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby adopted.
House Concurrent Resolution 1016, Representative Gosch moves that House Concurrent Resolution 1016 be deferred to Monday, February 29th, the 29th legislative day.
All in favor of the Gosch motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries.
House Concurrent Resolution 1017, commending the nation of Israel for its cordial and mutually beneficial relationship with the United States and with the state of South Dakota.
That motion having been made and seconded for...
I got to read this.
Okay, go ahead.
Representative Deutsch moves that HCR 1017 be adopted.
That motion having been made and seconded for House Concurrent Resolution 1017 to be adopted is now for consideration. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Deutsch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring you a resolution commending the nation of Israel for its cordial and mutually beneficial relationship both with the United States and our state of South Dakota. Some of you know my background that before becoming a Christian, I was born and raised as a Jew. I'm the son of a Holocaust survivor, and some of my family after the war went to Israel, and some came to the United States. So relationship with Israel is important to me personally. Our great state has a relationship also with Israel, based on our agricultural production, technology, research. We do about $20 to $30 million in exports to Israel every year. I want to just read to you a couple of the paragraphs of the resolution to give you a flavor of it, and I'd encourage you to read the whole thing. Whereas the United States, having been the first country to recognize Israel as an independent nation, and as Israel's principal ally, has enjoyed a close and mutually beneficial relationship with Israel and her people. And whereas there are increasing incidents of anti-Semitism around the world, including across the United States related to official hate crime statistics, and whereas the international boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is one of the main vehicles of spreading anti-Semitism, and whereas Israel is the greatest friend and ally of the United States in the Middle East, and the values of our two nations are so intertwined that it's impossible to separate one from the other, now therefore be it resolved that the House of Representatives, the 91st Legislature of the State of South Dakota, and the Senate concurring therein, commends Israel for its cordial and mutually beneficial relationship to the United States and the state of South Dakota. I stand by for any questions you may have. I ask you to please support the resolution. They're a great friend. Obviously, the Middle East is an area of great instability and great danger, and they're just a beacon of hope and democracy, and as I said, a great friend and ally. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Concurrent Resolution 1017? Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 1017. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote.
Partridge votes aye. Werner votes aye.
Representative Jensen.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
Times two, so if you'd allow me to.
Granted.
There are certain times in one's life that they have to make a decision, and this last summer I think I made the best decision of my life and asked my good friend Nikki Douglas to marry me. So she said yes, and she's here with us today, so I'm very thankful that she's here and allowing me to hang out with you folks during the session. So
welcome to the Capitol, Mrs. Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My second personal privilege is Nikki was from Pierre originally, so we have a lot of family friends now. And I have Alex Ludeman here with me today, joining me at my desk for a little bit. She's a Pierre gal, and she's just taken in, and hopefully will sit maybe in Representative Duvall's spot someday. So
very good. Hold her up there so we can see her. There you go. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Very good.
Representative Dryden and Jensen. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 60 yeas, 3 nays, 7 excused.
House Concurrent Resolution 1017, having received the majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby adopted. Consideration reports of committees.
Representative Gosch moves that the reports of the standing committees on state affairs on Senate Bill 45, as found on page 656 of the House Journal. Also, education on Senate Bill 5, as found on page 656 of the House Journal. Also, judiciary on Senate Bill 54, as found on page 657 of the House Journal, be adopted.
Is there a second? All those in favor of the Gosch motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. First reading of Senate bills. For the students that are visiting with us today from other countries, our predecessors built into our Constitution that we had to read each bill that we were going to vote on at least twice, and that was before the age of computers. And so they would have normally read all the bills separately, one at a time, but now our representatives have computers, and they can look up the bills in there. So the clerks will all be reading the first reading at the same time. So they're kind of talking over themselves, but that's our Constitution requires it. So this will serve as our first reading.
Senate Bill 162, an act to create the State Board of Internal Control and to declare an emergency. Senate Bill 127, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the requirements for placement of a utility facility across a railroad right-of-way. Senate Bill 159, an act to provide a tax credit to insurance companies that contribute to an organization providing educational scholarships to certain students. Senate Bill 168, an act to revise provisions related to human trafficking and to provide a penalty therefor.
Speaker signs to House Appropriations, Senate Bill 159. Speaker signs to Judiciary, Senate Bills 168 and 169. Speaker assigns the State Affairs Senate Bill 100, 124, 125, 126, 162, and 127. And Senate Bill 9, the Speaker waived due to the fact that it's already gone through joint appropriations. Consent calendar items.
Senate Bill 33, an act to revise certain provisions regarding chemical testing and revocations of driver licenses for persons under the age of 21. Senate Bill 39, an act to revise certain provisions concerning fees for sponsored captive insurance companies. Senate Bill 57, an act to redefine the term written agreement relating to contracts between a debtor and creditor.
Consent calendar bills, having had their second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Seeing none, the question for the House is final passage of bills on the consent calendar. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members will proceed to vote.
Representative Feichert. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Chief Clerk, will you please display the vote?
Mr. Speaker, there are 61 yeas, 9 excused.
Consent bills, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct. Second reading of bills and resolutions.
Senate Bill 17, an act to make an appropriation for costs related to suppression of wildflowers in the state and to declare an emergency. Representative Gosch moves that Senate Bill 17 be deferred to Monday, February 29th, the 29th legislative day.
Second. All those in favor of deferring Senate Bill 17, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Senate Bill 52, an act to establish procedures for reporting federal tax changes for purposes of the bank franchise tax.
Senate Bill 52, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? President Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. Senate Bill 52 is an act to establish procedures for reporting federal tax changes for purposes of our South Dakota bank franchise tax. Last year, if you'll remember, during our session, there was a case pending in our South Dakota Supreme Court, Citibank versus South Dakota Department of Revenue. The question there was whether Citibank's request for a refund of overpayment of bank franchise tax was barred by a three-year statute of limitations. Citibank's overpayment of taxes was a result of a federal audit adjustment in 2012 for tax years going back to 1999. It was 1999, 2000, 2001, and 2002. While the court's decision in Citibank is a correct interpretation of the law in that the court did uphold the Department of Revenue in that case, the Department of Revenue does believe that the limitation period contained in our statute may cause issues in the context of our bank franchise tax. The bank tax is an income tax that uses the taxpayer's federal taxable income as a starting point for state taxation. Due to the fact that it can routinely take several years to conduct a federal audit, particularly of a large financial institution, the limitation period can cut off an otherwise valid refund due to a decrease to the taxpayer's federal income tax resulting from a federal audit. Conversely, the state is also cut off from additional taxes that may be due when a federal audit increases a taxpayer's federal income taxable income. Senate Bill 52 seeks to bring South Dakota state law into alignment with other states that impose a corporate income tax by linking the statute of limitations for refund or collection of taxes to the federal audit of the taxpayer. The bill contains 11 sections. I'll summarize them quickly. Section 1 establishes the procedure for reporting an increase to a to the taxpayer's federal taxable income as a result of a federal audit or adjustment. Taxpayers would be required to report any changes to the Department of Revenue in writing and pay any additional taxes due, if any, within 120 days. We're not talking 6 years anymore, folks. 120 days of the federal determination. The report would be required to be in the form of a supplementary return. This section makes it clear that this procedure is outside of the limitations period for collection and refund of taxes otherwise provided in our statutes. Section 2 then establishes a procedure for reporting a decrease to a taxpayer's federal taxable income as a result of a federal audit or adjustment. The taxpayers, again, would be required to report any changes to the department in writing within 120 days of the federal determination. The report would be required in the form, again, of a supplementary return. The section makes it clear that this procedure is outside the limitation periods for collection and refund of taxes. In fact, it makes it clear that if you don't comply with the statute, you cannot even bring an action in circuit court. I like it. Finally, it provides for any refunds owed to a taxpayer would be handled in accordance with some other statutes. Section 3 then gives the Secretary of Revenue the authority to determine any additional tax due should the taxpayer fail to adhere to the requirements of Section 1. This authority then gives the Secretary 6 years from the time that the supplementary return would otherwise be due. In addition, this section gives the Secretary discretion to impose a penalty equal to the greater of $5,000 or 10% of the additional tax due for violating the requirements. Sections 4 through 10 are just cleanup, and then Section 11 makes it clear that it only applies to returns that would have been required for 2015 tax year or thereafter and would otherwise be filed after December 31st of 2015. It's good legislation. Please vote green.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on Senate Bill 52? Further remarks on Senate Bill 52? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 52. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote.
Warner votes aye. Keller votes aye.
Representative Rounds.
Personal privilege?
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, on the calendar today, most of you don't spend the time to go down to the bottom and look at all these commemorations that are on here. But today, I want to point out five of them that are on there. Back on 15th of January, which was the first week of session this year, long, long time ago, many of us were at 6:30 a.m. were down having a breakfast at the Ramkota listening to Major General Timothy Reich of the South Dakota National Guard talk about our Air and Army National Guard. And at that time, he could have gone on for a lot longer than what he did, but he talked about the achievements of many of our Guard units. And at that time, and even before we started hearing about some of these awards that Guard units were winning nationally, it was decided we would try and do some commemorations of some sort, and see, people were asking, we got to say thank you. So we did do some commemorations, and what we were going to do originally planned was present them the night of them dining out, but General Reich decided it would be best if we would do a commemoration for each of these units that won one of these prestigious national awards and then have them presented after session to the local units by the prime sponsor of each commemoration. So as you see, there are five of them recognizing those five different units in different locations in South Dakota, everywhere from, you know, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, Aberdeen, Madison, Huron, and I think I'm missing one. Huron. So we're going to have these presentations made to the entire units, and it's a small token of appreciation from the legislature. I don't know what else we can do except for give them more money in the budget, but that's up to the guys in the back row up here. So it's a good way to say thank you, but when you're reading your commemorations, a lot of people skip over them, but these, I think, have a little bit of importance for us from the legislature to those who they're meant for, our South Dakota National Guard. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rounds, for pointing that out. Good job.
Representative Latterell and Ramkema. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 59 yeas, 11 excused.
Senate Bill 52, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 8, an act to revise certain provisions regarding background investigations for prospective employees of the post-secondary technical institutes and to transfer certain funds regarding post-secondary technical credentialing.
Senate Bill 8, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Klum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, this bill was on consent, and you see in the title where it talks about the transferring of funds. That is why it was pulled off consent, because it will require a two-thirds vote. But what it briefly does is it takes the state-level credentialing for post-secondary technical instructors and moves it to the institutional level. It takes it out of the state level, and it's consistent with other higher education background checks, and I ask you to vote yes. It has received no votes anywhere throughout the process. So if you want to be its first, go ahead, but I wouldn't suggest it. Thanks. Have a good day.
Okay. Further remarks? Further remarks on Senate Bill 8? Representative Beal, are you? Oh, okay. Further remarks on Senate Bill 8? This is a two-thirds vote due to an appropriation measure. Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 8. Those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote.
Representative Warner. Representative Warner. Warner's excused. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 49 yeas, 9 nays, 12 excused.
Senate Bill 8, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct. Are there any lessons on that, Representative Klum?
Mr. Speaker, point of order. Everyone here is responsible for their own vote, so I can't take anything they do personally.
Point well taken.
Senate Bill 2, an act to revise the distribution of the revenue from the Alcoholic Beverage Fund. Representative Gosch moves that Senate Bill 2 be deferred to Monday, February 29th, the 29th legislative day.
All in favor of the Gosch motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Senate Bill 34, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the chemical testing of commercial drivers. Representative Gosch moves that Senate Bill 34 be deferred to Monday, February 29th, the 29th legislative day.
Second. All those in favor of the Gosch motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Senate Bill 120, an act to make an appropriation to reimburse certain family physicians, dentists, physician assistants, and nurse practitioners who have complied with the requirements of the recruitment assistance program and to declare an emergency.
Senate Bill 120, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. If you will recall, we have a partnership program with healthcare providers to bring providers out to the area. What this bill does is we're repaying those individuals. Part of the agreement is the community pays, the state pays a share, and the provider remains in the community for 3 years in practice. This year we have a physician at Custer, a physician at Chamberlain, one at Hot Springs, a PA at Tyndall, PA at Platte Geddes, nurse practitioner at Elcester, nurse practitioner in Hot Springs, a nurse practitioner at Freeman, and a dentist in DeSmet. The total that the state is contributing toward their tuition is $518,600. The local match is $230,961. This is a great program. Those providers, ultimately the majority of them, do remain in the rural areas. I would ask for your support on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on Senate Bill 120? Further remarks on Senate Bill 120? Due to an appropriation and an emergency clause, Senate Bill 120 does require a two-thirds vote of the members-elect. Question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 120. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The members will proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Stalzer. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 59 yeas, 11 excused.
Senate Bill 120, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
Senate Bill 63, an act to require the development of school safety plans and to require the conduct of school safety drills in accredited schools. Representative Gosch moves that Senate Bill 63 be deferred to Monday, February 29th, the 29th legislative day.
Second.
All those in favor of the Gosch motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Senate Bill 114, an act to make an appropriation for certain costs related to the commissioning of the USS South Dakota and to declare an emergency.
Senate Bill 114, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Speaker.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. And the whistling I just heard, I was thinking of basically having the sound system play Anchors Away at this point in time, but I understand that we don't use props. But thanks for the whistle anyway. Senate Bill 114, as indicated in the title, is an appropriation of $100,000 to pay for costs in connection with the commissioning of SSN USS South Dakota. Now, there have only been two other ships in South Dakota's history that have been named South Dakota. One was about World War I time frame, and it was a heavy armed cruiser. Interesting enough, a number of years later, after World War I, the USS South Dakota cruiser was basically renamed the USS Huron. And in order to allow for a battleship to be named the South Dakota, the Huron community had a ship named in their honor. The second ship for USS South Dakota was the battleship. A famous battleship in World War II, a battleship that became known as Battleship X, and a battleship that bore many, many combat ribbons and stars. I sincerely believe that to have a Virginia-class attack nuclear submarine named after South Dakota is indeed a distinct honor. When I served in the Navy, I was fortunate enough to serve with the submarine service in Holy Loch, Scotland. And in Holy Loch, Scotland was the home port of Submarine Squadron 14. In those days, most of the submarines were missiles, Polaris missiles, and their job was to circle the Arctic Circle and be able to rain down missiles upon our, at that time, Russia. The present submarine that we're talking about, the USS South Dakota, is a Virginia attack submarine. And its primary purpose is, as the name implies, it's an attack submarine, but it also carries Tomahawk missiles, and it carries very sophisticated torpedoes. I'm giving you a little bit of this history because I think we need to know about this ship that is going to be named after our state, and what an honor it is for the state of South Dakota to have a ship bearing its name. I have been asked, what's the $100,000 going to be used for? Well, to begin with, there are three groups that are providing $100,000 each. One is the defense contractors involving the building of the USS South Dakota. Another is from private funds. And the third $100,000 is to be appropriated in accordance with Senate Bill 114. The money from the state and from the private donations and so on and so forth will be used for a number of things. One, there will be a number of celebrations during the next year or two. The submarine is scheduled to be launched in 2018, maybe late 2017. But between now and then, a number of events are scheduled, including one this coming July down in Sioux Falls at the Sioux Falls Air Show. They'll be bringing a team in to talk about and provide photos and whatnot about the USS South Dakota. In addition to paying for those kind of expenses, there will be commemorative coins that will be made. There will be, of course, the typical caps and shirts and whatnot, and these all take some seed money to get it started. I would sincerely hope that you would each be able to vote green on this bill in honor of our grand state of South Dakota. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on Senate Bill 114. Further remarks on Senate Bill 114. Due to an appropriation measure and an emergency clause, Senate Bill 114 does require a two-thirds vote of the members-elect. The question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 114. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote. Representative Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. I know it's been a long week, so I won't take up any much more of your time, but I just want to reassure everyone in this body that I will be referring to this as the boat bill instead of the ship bill.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 60 yeas, 1 nay, 9 excused.
Senate Bill 114, having received a two-thirds vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
Yes, I would move to defer the remainder of today's calendar till tomorrow, the 29th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Gosh motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
Motion carries. There being no objection, the House will revert back to previous order of business number 5, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that House Bill 1090 and 1207 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 10:40 a.m. February 24th, 2016. Also, Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that House Bill 1102, 1108, 1117 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 9:50 a.m. on February 25th, 2016. Also, Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Rolling has carefully compared 1004, 1069, and 1071 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Dean Wink, Chair.
Messages?
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that House Bill 1107 and House Concurrent Resolution 1004 lost for failure to be placed on the Senate calendar. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has appointed Senators Teason, Rush, and Heinert as a committee of three on the part of the Senate to meet with the like committee on the part of the House to adjust the differences between the two houses on House Bill 1183. Respectfully, Kay Johnson, Secretary.
Speaker signs House Bill 1004, an act to make form and style revisions to certain statutes regarding counties. Speaker signs House Bill 1069, an act to revise certain provisions related to genetic counselor licensure. Speaker signs House Bill 1071, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the annual conference between county commissioners and the Director of Equalization. Speaker signs Senate Bill 38, an act to revise certain provisions concerning bail bonds persons. Announcements. Any announcements, Representative Sly?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education Committee meets Monday morning, 7:45.
Very good. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Commerce and Energy, Monday morning, 10 a.m., room 464.
Very good. Further announcements? Any further announcements? Representative Mickelson.
House Judiciary, 10 a.m., Monday.
Further announcements? Hearing no further announcements, Representative Anderson.
Is
all in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned.